Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 285. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. Buy my new album, Turner's, what's it called? Double Happiness. I almost said my previous album. Holy cow. Double Happiness.
Buy that too.
Buy them all. They're on iTunes, or go to my website, turnersparks.com. I will sign it and send it to you. I'll sign you a CD, send it to you. Also, I have records coming in March. So
Vinyl. I've always said your comedy is better on vinyl.
It's better on vinyl. Sound.
It's more natural.
It's more crisp. Yeah.
Crisper, yeah.
You get that little crackling sound when you first put it on.
Nah, it feels like you're in the club.
It sounds like you're listening to like Frank Sinatra or something. So it's really good. Also, I'm on tour all this fall, November 4th. Wait, no, November 5th. I will be at Hyenas Comedy Club in Fort Worth, Texas with the great Andrew Heaton. Get your tickets now. Everything's available at turnersparks.com. All right. Kaplan, you can find Kaplan on all social media platforms at Cap in America. Kaplan, what else? Anything else to promote?
No, just but Cap'n NYC is my other feed for all your real estate news here in New York City.
Yes, if you're looking for a home, not use Kaplan, we will personally unsubscribe you from this podcast.
We will ban you. We'll ban you. We'll never be a guest. You'll never be a listener. You'll never be allowed to do anything in this town.
Well, we're on the streets of New York accosting real estate agents to find out who their clients are. And if any of those cross over with listeners to this show, you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And if the real estate agents are listeners of the show, well, then it's okay. But no, come to me for all your real estate needs. I'm number one on the west side of Long Island City.
Look at that. Number one on Hunters Point South.
Exactly.
Today, we're talking about the election in Brazil. They have a big election coming up. Bolsonaro and Lula. Is the full name's a lot. It's a lot to say.
Yeah, we just go with the nicknames.
We'll go with Lula. I wrote down the full name so I can say it in a few minutes here. But that's what we're talking about. We have Carol Zoakley coming up in just a minute.
He's back.
To inform us on all that, what's going on down there. But Kaplan, if you want to support this show, and I know you do, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. Throw us $5 a month. That gets you extra episodes of this show. And listen, I've had people write in recently that say, I'm a Patreon subscriber because I like you. I don't even want the extra content. I got enough other podcasts I listen to. I don't need more of you guys, but I just want it because I believe in you. I want to give you money. That works too.
That's a great attitude. Because if I knew that no one's listening, we can really go off the rails on that show. We already do, but we could even do better. So if you guys tell us, if you subscribe and then write us in and tell us you're not even going to listen, that's even better.
That's it. No, that's pressure. Even better.
I don't have to be funny or anything. It's great.
We don't care if people listen at all. Just give us money. That's all we care about.
Money. Yes.
$10 a month, you get a t-shirt. $20 a month, you get your own ad on this show. Dennis Owens regularly writes an ad. You get a once a month ad. If we listen, we go out, we get other advertisers. You're going to hear them later in this episode. They pay way more than $20 a month. I'll tell you that.
We're very expensive. It's like Super Bowl.
They're getting screwed. If they knew they could just subscribe, give us $20 a month, they would pay way less than ads.
Yeah.
But no, Magic Spoon, these people, I hope they don't ever listen to our show is the point, because then they could give us less money, but you give us $20 a month, patreon.com/lostinamerica. Go there. There's also a bidding war going on over there. Dennis Owens is currently giving us $40 a month to be our number one Patreon subscriber. We have other people at the 30, 35, 36.
Dennis Owens is our benefactor.
If you want to beat Dennis Owens, we'll say anything you want us to say on this podcast, whether it's legal or not.
He's the number one lawyer in both sides of Kansas City, right? But if you want to, you want to be the number one lawyer in Kansas City, you want to replace him, give us $45.
Well, Dennis Owens is the only lawyer who is legally who can legally practice on the Missouri side and the Kansas City side. So if you get a DUI on either side,
or get it both times going both ways.
Yeah,
that'd be impressive.
If you get a driving under the influence of alcohol, I was going to say ticket, but I think you go to prison in Missouri and Kansas, Dennis will get you out.
Yeah.
And all right. Kaplan. Now, what do you know about Brazil? Let's get down to this. The Brazilian election, I know that they had a runoff. No, they had a primary or whatever you call it. Maybe not a primary, an election on October 2nd. Everyone thought Lula was going to win outright. Bolsonaro, we've covered him on previous episodes of the show. They call him the Trump of the tropics. That might be, I don't know if it's simplifying it too much.
I don't think it is. He's very, he's got a little more, I think he's even better than Trump in some ways. You know, he's, if you're for entertainment purposes.
Okay.
But so we thought he was going to lose. Just like Trump, the polls all said he had no chance, right?
And Bolsonaro,
Bolsonaro. And then he came out and he's forced to run off because nobody got 50% of the vote. That's how it works.
So Lula, who was a previous president, got it 48% of the vote. Bolsonaro got 43%. I guess that's close enough in Brazil to where they have to do a whole new election again.
They didn't have 50%. That's the thing.
So they're
that's
doing the that on October 30th. And I want to start here because it looks as if Bolsonaro loses, he already has said he's going very Trump in saying that if he loses, he's not going to election was rigged.
He stole all of his bits. He's saying the voting machines are fake. I mean, obviously the news is fake, but now the voting machines are suddenly broken. Even though he won with those machines last time, he's playing all the hits.
I don't know if he's hoping that people in Brazil have never heard of Trump and they think he's coming up with all these original ideas. It reminds me of that guy in France who's doing all the Jerry Seinfeld material
in French,
but hoping just no one's ever heard of Jerry.
No one has Netflix over there.
By the way, it seems to be working. That guy's huge. I forget his name, but he's a very big comic. So if Bolsonaro loses, which it seems like he might, is there going to be a January 6th again?
Right. And I'm afraid of, because we're like, I'm happening in America and we're, you know, we think of ourselves as like the number one democracy. We got it all together. Brazil, it could get bad if they have a January 6th, I would think. So the military, which I think is on his side, I want to find out if we think they would support it. So
let's start there. We have the great Carol Zoccoli coming back to the show, Brazilian comedian. You can see her on Netflix doing stand-up comedy in Portuguese, I believe. Also, you can see her doing comedy in English all over the place. She's been on television in Canada, I believe in the United States, performing in clubs all over New York City and the world. Carol, welcome to the show. How'd we do on our synopsis of your upcoming election?
Hello, guys. Thank you so much for having me back. Every time I'm in this podcast means that my country shit's going down. So
that's the key to having us on. Yeah.
Happy to see you guys. But, you know,
it's good that you haven't been on as much as the Ukrainian comedians have been on, because that means that's the real test.
Yeah, they're having more airtime in this podcast for sure. Yeah.
Shit going down.
Pretty much, yes. I would just disagree with the comparison between Trump and Bolsonaro, because I think that Bolsonaro is way worse.
Better, as I say, but no.
Yeah, because it seems to me that Bolsonaro, of course, they are all chasing money, and this is all about making money. But I think that Bolsonaro has a ideological thing behind it, and I think that Trump is just narcissism.
Yes, that's definitely true with Trump. Trump had no ideology. He didn't care.
He's one of the self-proclaimed wealthiest people in America, that he supports the poor is a hard bridge to cross. But anyway, okay, so Bolsonaro actually does believe in what he's saying.
I think he does, because there's a researcher, like an intellectual in Brazil, that she studies Nazi movements. Right. And she found a letter from Bolsonaro when he won as a congressman, like years and years ago. He wrote a letter to the biggest Nazi website in South America saying that his win was that his work as a congressman will be for the Nazis.
Where is the biggest Nazi place in South America? Is it in Argentina?
It's the biggest Nazi website. This website is already out of air, like because they, you know,
Taken off the internet.
It got taken off. Yeah.
By the way, that's a pretty big. It must have created a really bad website to the internet to take it off.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this is all cancel in the culture. internet archives and stuff. Yeah, so that's why I think that he's way worse than Trump.
But maybe he didn't know who he was writing to. Maybe
I love how there's a translation. Defending a Nazi. Jewish Michael Kaplan is defending.
I just like to see his school told him you have to write a letter to somebody famous, and
yeah, you can say that. But then he takes pictures with the Nazi, the woman from the Nazi party in German. He takes a picture with the Hitler lookalike. You know, like,
was that like Prince?
Prince Harry.
It's insane.
Whoa, right. Really? So he's got a Nazi fascination, is what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure.
What has he done? So the thing about, I guess, if we're going to compare in any way, and normally on this podcast, we don't like comparing foreign countries' politics to American, because what we've learned is they never fit. It's never, American media tries to distill it down to say, oh, well, that's the Trump of Hungary. That's the Trump of fill in the blank, France. Mm-hmm. That's that country. But once you actually research it, it never is that simple. But here, at least with this election, a lot of it seems there's a lot of similarities. But when Bolsonaro got elected, he said he was going to do a million things. What of that, now that his term's coming to an end, what did he say he was going to do? And then how much of that did he actually do?
Well, the things that he promised, the things that he used to say, which was like, indigenous people will not have any land. He said that people like poor people and like people of color, they will not have any money from the government, and all of that he did, you know.
Okay.
During his presidency, during the pandemic, do you remember that the gas emissions from the entire world went down because
it was the best thing for climate change that ever happened? Yeah,
exactly. Only in Brazil it went up.
Oh.
Because he let the illegal wood sellers and, you know, the miners run free.
They were like,
so we had more fires in the Amazon than ever during his presidency. So he helped a lot of people made a lot of money during his presidency. So the promise that he made for those people, he was amazing. He did it very well. That's why there's a lot of entrepreneurs and, you know, business owners that are, you know, backing him up.
Yeah.
Right. He's good for the bottom line.
I mean, yeah, that happened here. I mean, in terms of the fighting for a certain percentage of people, did he say, was his movement a populist movement? Because it sounds like it's not a populist movement. It sounds like this
is like a right wing populism
for the rich, not for the masses. Kind of,
yeah.
You could say that Trump was for a populist, meaning he was going to take care of basically the poor white people, right?
Yeah.
And that got him elected. Was it similar with Bolsonaro?
Yes, it is. It is similar because Bolsonaro is a populist for sure. Because he lies so much. Like, for example, he was caught in a lie last week that is like, it may have cost him the elections. I don't think he was going to win anyways, but
he was telling
a story. Like, because in Brazil, like his movement, they're all like, if you let the left win, Brazil is going to become Venezuela.
Right. That's why the big boogeyman is Venezuela. Yeah.
That's why that's the comparison. So he was talking about a story that he was like in the north of Brazil and he saw some Venezuelan girls, 14 years old, and he realized they were prostitutes.
Okay.
And he wanted to, what he wanted to mean is that look at the situation of Venezuela, Brazil is going to be the same. Hmm. But when he was describing the situation, the encounter with 14 years old girls, he used an expression that it means, I don't know how to say that in English, but you know when you're flirting with someone?
He was flirting with the 14-year-olds?
Yeah, so he used the expression that means that he was flirting with them. And now people are like, this is, the shit's going down. Like, people are like, he's a pedophile. Oh. Blah, 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 blah.
We'll see. And the families...
Yeah, the families are fighting like, oh, mom, you support the pedophile, you know, oh, like boy. It's insane.
But in reality, the whole story was probably a lie. They're probably, these the girls probably didn't exist.
It was a lie. When he was there, it was like those Venezuelan girls, they were in like a beauty school. So they were like, they were learning a craft to work.
And does Brazil really need prostitutes imported? I mean, I'm not
going to
say I've been there or anything.
To be honest, I don't think any country needs prostitutes. Like, I think this is the oldest profession in the world, right? I think all the countries are filled with this.
They got enough.
Apparently, Brazil doesn't have enough.
His so I guess his base that we read is farmers, gun owners.
That sort of surprised me. I didn't realize.
Evangelical Christians, which all of those line up with politics in America, all on the same side. So I read something crazy that in his term, since he took office, I guess 2017 is when he came in. Is that right?
2018.
Okay. And then from then to now, the amount of private gun ownership in Brazil has doubled.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Still a long way to go though, to catch us. I was looking at the numbers. We still have dozens times more guns in Brazil, but yeah. Congrats.
Yes. And the thing is now, the police is finding like guns from the drug cartels and stuff, are bought legally.
Oh, okay. Cause they don't have to buy them illegally anymore.
Because they have, you know, they have those people like, in Brazil, we call it an orange. An orange is someone who is like, let's say I want to buy a gun, but not under my name. And I use Turner's name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the cartels, they use, you know?
Legal names.
They legal
names.
Yeah.
Do they, they pay the people for that, or the people don't even know they're
probably,
using
probably.
Yeah. Is it because the idea is you're only allowed, there's still gun restrictions. You're only allowed to own a certain amount. Like my uncle owns 33 guns last time I checked. But he's a hunter. He's never killed a single person. He's
Uncle
a great
Keith.
Guy. Uncle Keith's salt of the earth. He's a saint. He fights. And I mean, he not fights. He shoots in competitions and wins. But if he was Brazilian, would he be allowed to own 33 private guns?
I'm not sure.
Legal.
He'd be an orange.
He owns them legal.
Not sure.
Or he would have to get, he'd have to pay me for my license to buy one for me.
Hey. Natalie. Everybody.
No, I don't. I think I'm not sure. I remember like my dad had a license for a gun. My dad had a couple of guns too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think two of them were licensed and the other ones, no. So like, yeah. So I don't think like, I think there's restrictions. Yeah. But I'm not sure.
And what about the rainforest? I know the rainforest is
still exists. These rainforests. I mean, I thought they got rid of those in the '80s.
Oh my God.
All we've ever heard is the rainforest is going away, but it seems like
they tried.
Still there.
Bolsonaro took a big chunk out of it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now this election's coming up. Oh, let's get into Lula. So Lula was president from 2003 to 2010. Yeah. Is that correct?
2010 or eight. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We read 2003 to 2010.
Yeah, probably.
And he left with 80% approval rating. Why did he leave?
Well, he left because in Brazil, you can only have two terms.
Okay.
So he had to leave. But then we had another president for two mandates and was from his party.
Lula's
and they
party.
Impeached her. It was a coup. It was basically a coup. They impeached her. And they put Lula in jail.
Right. Mm-hmm. He went to jail. Car wash scandal, it's called.
Exactly.
Right?
So, yeah. But no one could never prove anything. And now he is released from the 27 accusations. He's proven innocent. And Lula was supposed to run in the 2018 elections. And a corrupt judge called Sergio Moro put Lula in jail, so Bolsonaro won. And now Bolsonaro, this corrupt judge that put Lula in jail is with Bolsonaro. Like they're together, you know?
But so, was it a real scandal? It just that there wasn't evidence that tied him to it, or was the
he was in
thing?
Jail for 18 months, let's say. Car wash scandal. What was the details of that scandal? I think we might have talked about it last time, but just to remember.
Yeah, it was basically corruption involving construction companies.
Okay.
And the politicians. It was basically like a corruption scandal.
And when he went to jail, the timeline was he went to jail during the campaign, the 2018 campaign. So therefore, you can't run from jail. Okay.
Yeah.
And now he's out, though. The Supreme Court let him out.
But was the idea that what his crimes were committed while he was in office, almost like 10 years earlier?
What was his crimes? What?
Like, so normally if you commit a crime, you would go to jail within a year, 6 months after committing that crime, right? When did they say he committed the crime, the bribery crime?
Yeah, so everything was a little bit weird in that process, because that process was, first of all, they put him in jail very fast. Like without, like, so everything, like the legality of the process was not respected at all. Mm-hmm. And that's really something that worries people in Brazil, because that shows that the institutions are not that strong, you know? So Bolsonaro winning again, it's very dangerous to Brazil, I think, and to democracy. I don't think we're going to recover. I don't think he's going to win. I think it's going to be tight. I don't think he's going to win.
Bolsonaro, you don't think so?
No. Bolsonaro's not going to win. He lost the first round.
Right.
By 6 million votes.
That's a lot of votes. So
that's a lot of votes. Yeah.
If you just look at percentage, it's like, oh, that was tight. But then if you actually look at the amount of people that need to somehow change their vote, or new people.
Well, the people who voted for the third and fourth party candidates, it seemed like one of those was like a more centrist person and they endorsed Lula. And the other one was very liberal, it looked like, from my research. So I would think most of those voters would go to Lula, but
yeah. And there's a lot of scandals, because now that the elections are going like full, like it's crazy. Like, guys, it's crazy. And when you're talking about Brazil, we're talking about crazy. So the second day of the second run,
right?
People unearthed a video from 2016, 2013, Bolsonaro saying that he was, I think it's in the Amazon rainforest, and he says that he found a tribe that was a cannibal tribe, and he wanted to eat someone, but he didn't have the chance to, but he would like to.
He didn't have the chance to. He had to leave.
So now the opposition, and even me, like,
he supports cultures. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, even me, like, we're all, he's a cannibal. He's a fucking cannibal. Dammer. Bolsonaro. Dammer. And people like,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah. Oh,
that's Dahmer, right?
He'll get an LGBTQ. No.
Yeah.
Is that real though? Is this like tabloid stuff calling him a cannibal?
Yeah. Like, did he really say that as a joke, or was it like a,
it was a real interview. It was a real interview that he was giving to New York Times, actually, in 2013.
Told New York Times is a cannibal?
Yes. So this is something he actually said. Oh my so God. It's not fake news or anything, but people are just like, you know, building.
But what's, I mean, are we not allowed? Are we discriminating against cannibals now? That's a culture. That's a local culture there that he was, you know, if that's,
he's trying to immerse himself in the local culture.
Another funny thing. So this was the second day of the second run, the third day of the second run, because Bolsonaro says that he's evangelical, right? But he doesn't have any religion.
This is like Trump too. Yeah. This is this fake evangelical thing.
Exactly.
33% of your country is evangelical, right? So it's a big deal. Yeah.
Exactly. So he says he's evangelical. And I don't know if in America is the same, but the evangelical people in Brazil, they are kind of against mensory. because they think it's like a diabolical. Do you know what? the Masons,
the Freemasons.
Yeah. Oh, the Freemasons.
Freemasons.
About like mazes at a pumpkin patch or something.
Yeah,
the Freemasons.
Yeah, my grandfather was a Mason.
Whoa. Yeah, so they think that they are diabolical, that they do Satanist, you know.
Did he?
So in the third run, they found a video of Bolsonaro give a speech in a Freemason place.
Okay.
And now it's Bolsonaro with devil. He's satanic. He's a cannibal Satanist. The vile. Oh, so now that's
cannibal. He's really stepping into a lot of landmines here.
But is he losing the evangelicals with this? Or are they still with him?
With the Mason thing, he did. And also with the comment that he made about the 14-year-old girl, that hurt him too.
Oh, it did. Yeah. Okay.
Did it? Because in America, I feel like they look past like all of Trump's.
Yes.
And even like Herschel Walker. Like they just look past things they don't want to look past because some people he is going to lose, you think?
Yeah, no, I think that this like pedophilia is something that the right, the extreme right has been using it against the left for years. So they have a glass ceiling.
Throw stones.
Don't throw stones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the
that's good. They're consistent at least.
Yeah. So the pedophilia thing is something that they make the people afraid. Right. So one of the fake news that made him win the first election was that I think I talked about this before. It was like we say that for babies is a sucker when baby
pacifier.
Pacifier.
Yeah. So they say that the left want to give babies a pacifier in the format of a penis to make them gay.
Yeah. Birth. Yeah, you train them from birth.
To train people, guys to be gays, like since birth.
I know some very progressive parents who might do that in America.
Really?
They really want to have a gay kid, I know. But yeah, that is crazy.
That is crazy. So people believe, so like talking about pedophilia and stuff like this is like something that people really, I think, yeah.
So no, I gave my son a big breasted pacifier just for the record, but no.
So Bolsonaro is a, a pedophile, Satanist, cannibal is where we're at right now. Exactly. And Nazi. That's kind of the four no-nos.
Mm. Yeah.
Like shooting, as Trump said, he could shoot someone in Park Avenue.
An election. It's hard to win with all.
Right?
Did he do anything that leaned Nazi-ish or leaned racist during his time in office?
100%. 100%. He compared, like, he was talking about, because in Brazil we have some lands that are reserved, like, very little, not a lot, that are reserved for Africans that came right during the slavery time. Yeah. And some of them were able to flee the landowners and create, you know, little tribes or little, you know, villages. So some of those lands that are reserved for them. So they have some lands. And he was talking about visiting one of those places and say they were all fat. They're eating too much because the government gives them money. Yeah. They're eating too much. And then he compared the way he said that they're fat is that he compared the weight of the people with animal weight.
Ay, 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 ay.
You know, when you say like, oh, this thing, this bull, how can you say in English? Like this bull weights. No, we don't say kilos. We don't
like
say
tons.
Yeah. But the expression he used is an expression you use for animals.
Got it.
Right.
So that was one. Another is that now he's saying because Lula goes to the favelas and people like, and he is, you know, giving speeches and people come and it's big, like, you know, and now he says that the criminals support Lula. But what he's saying is that everybody that lives in a favela are criminals. Mm. And that's not true at all. Like 98% of the people there are just workers.
Yeah.
Right.
Just the poor.
So that's another.
It's a weird move to, because he's basically, he has like a lower middle class base too. Right. But he's basically going after the poor and saying they're all or yeah. in the cities, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah. similar. I mean, if he's going after the poor, I guess, like people of different races, then that's yeah. the move, right? That's the same thing Trump did. Trump supported the poor white people.
Yeah.
But well, then, yeah. I mean, marginalized yeah. the poor people of color. So, yeah. all right. So it seems like he's going to lose. Yeah. If he loses, will what do you think will happen? Do you think it'll be a similar thing? Do you think he'll? It seems like he'll try to stay in office.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah, because he's going to go to jail if he doesn't. So
really? Yeah, we talked about him being impeached last time, right? Like whatever. Like, is that what you're talking about? Like that type of thing where he could.
Yeah.
What will he go to jail for?
Oh, there's so many crimes. Like this man, he did, like, for example, during the pandemic, we were talking about what he actually did that was racist or Nazi. Yeah. For example, during the pandemic, he made everything to prevent COVID care to arrive to indigenous people. He denied water to those people during the pandemic, like drinkable water. Mm. So like indigenous people died a lot of them.
How did he deny them water? How do you even go about doing that?
Well, you know, when you have like, well, he's the president. So
right.
he had like to sign something, uh-huh. you know, like he had to sign something to send water, you know, because people
yeah,
like,
they're not drinking like, no. water, like yeah, out and of their like, own well or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, no, I don't want to waste. I don't want to use this money for this. No, you know?
So do you think he'll actually go to prison or do you think it'll be like Trump where people are always saying he's about to go to prison, but he never actually goes to prison?
I think that there's a lot of people that hate him very much. Mm-hmm. And we think that he needs to pay for something. Otherwise, this will be very bad. On the other hand, it's like Trump here. Like it's a man with a lot of support. So putting a guy like that in jail sometimes takes time for you like to find, you know, but he has committed a lot of crimes in his presidency, like electoral crimes. Now he's using public money to, you know, to promote himself. Mm. So a lot, like even during the pandemic, he didn't answer 81 emails from Pfizer. So a lot of people
died. Wait, the emails are emailing him?
So the Pfizer, I don't know if you guys know that, but Brazil has a public health system. And it was before Bolsonaro, like the best vaccination system in the world, one of the best. Oh. So when the pandemic hit, Pfizer wanted to use Brazil as a
testing place or like
as a testing, like, you know, like to show the world how this can work.
Yeah.
So Pfizer started trying to connect with Bolsonaro and Bolsonaro didn't answer.
I mean, email, you get a lot of emails. I get so much junk. You're like, Pfizer, it might be junk. What is that?
81 emails.
Why would he be against the vaccine? Like, yeah, why would he be against the vaccine?
That was before it was even cool to be against the vaccine. Yeah. It's like so early.
He's against the vaccine to this day. Right. One is because he didn't want to waste money with that because he want to use the money, the state money for himself to steal and to buy votes, Congress votes.
Okay.
So he doesn't want to give money to things that are needed.
He had to pay for part of it. It wasn't going to, okay.
Oh.
So he didn't want to buy vaccines from Pfizer, but after a while, he started trying to purchase that vaccine from India. And he was keeping from himself $1 for each vaccine.
Vig.
Because Pfizer didn't want to be corrupt with him.
They didn't want to give him $1 for every vaccine. Yeah. So he went and found a vaccine somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, so my God. We just had like, but then Brazil, the Brazilians are very strong, man. But then a Brazilian institute created a vaccine. And that was the vaccine that started to vaccinate people there.
Okay.
It took a while to Moderna, Pfizer to arrive there. because of Bolsonaro.
And Brazil had a much worse record than most countries with deaths and everything with the vaccine.
Number one, if you compare, right, if you compare like...
I mean, it's a tough country because, I mean, the favelas we talked about are very crowded and everything. So you think if you really care, this country is a need the vaccine more than like anywhere, really.
Exactly. Exactly. And now the Brazil, like almost 100% of the population are vaccinated. Because Brazilians, they go and vaccine. Even the Bolsonaro supporters are vaccinated.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Is he vaccinated?
He says he isn't. But his vaccination card is in secret. He put it like, you know, as a secret.
Yeah. Well, when Trump tells his followers that he got vaccinated, they boo him.
They do, actually.
He gets booed in public.
I think he stopped bringing that up, but he brought up the booster. They went nuts on him at a rally.
Oh, when he got the booster, they flipped
and he
out.
Said he got the booster. Everyone started booing him, and he's like, no.
At his
and
own rally.
Yeah. He's not used to getting booed, so he moved. You know, you're a comedian. You know, you cut stuff out of the act when it gets booed. It'll do it again.
So exactly. It doesn't work. Yeah.
It doesn't work in a Yeah, you got to test it out.
All right.
Yeah.
We got to take a break, everybody. But when we get back, I want to find out what it's going to look like to have Lula as a president, because it seems like that's the way we're going. Kaplan, we're part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network.
We are.
That is us. That is Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy. And the Majoring in Everything podcast. That is Andrew Heaton and the Political Orphanage. Once again, he and I, November 5th, will be at Hyenas Comedy Club in Fort Worth, Texas. Get tickets now. All those shows are great. Go listen to all of those. And of course, keep listening to our show, Kaplan. And now, a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back.
Thank you, local sponsors. Wouldn't it be great if it was Dennis Owens, also a local sponsor? No.
If he's doing it both ways.
He just bought ads on yes. His law firm.
Amazing. All right. So now that it looks like, what are the chances? It does, as Kaplan said earlier, it seems like the military supports Bolsonaro. The military and police support Bolsonaro because he's like a tough on crime guy or something.
Even though he gives people guns, he's tough.
Even though
crime.
He gives everyone guns. Yeah. So do you think that if he loses, which it looks like he will, what are his chances of keeping the government?
I think zero, because he has some support in the military and in the police, but it's not that big. I don't think it's enough for him to actually, try a coup, you know? So I think that it's going to be hard because we had the midterms elections and a lot of extreme right-wing people won. So Lula is going to have a hard time. And now Brazil is broken because Bolsonaro, you know, the pandemic made everything difficult for every country, but Brazil is even worse. Right. So I think Lula's going to have a hard time.
Well, Lula will have a hard time too, because isn't the Congress, the Senate, is it? It's still right leaning, right? It's going to be.
It is right leaning, and now a lot of extreme right people also enter the game.
And so they're going to make Lula's life miserable, I guess. So they're
It's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be hard, and I think that we entered, and not only in Brazil, but I think in the whole world, we entered in a time that we have to be active politically,
right?
The people, because the politician, like the it is too, like it's too, is a war, right? Those people, they wanna, like the extreme right wing, they wanna take power, and they have crazy ideas. I mean, like. It's no good.
Well, that's what, like, I saw when the day that they went to the runoff, like the all the stocks were up because they were like, oh, there's this fear that like Lula would like nationalize oil or anything. But like, that's not going to happen, right? Because he's not even going to have the power to do that, even if he wants it, right? I mean, that's.
Yeah. I mean, like, this is so like silly, because the thing is, Bolsonaro represents a liberal economy. So his minister of economy is a guy who wants to privatize everything. The guy wanted to sell Brazilian beaches to like privatize, you know, the ocean, right?
Really? Privatize the
ocean.
The
guy is insane. The guy that is a Bolsonaro financial, how can you say, like minister of economy?
Yeah.
Was a guy who was in Chile doing that neoliberal experiment.
Right. With, the Milton Friedman. We've talked about that.
Oh, yeah. The Chicago Boys.
The Chicago Boys.
The Chicago Boys. He was one of the Chicago Boys.
Yeah.
So a lot of people who benefit from this kind of ultra-liberal economy wants Bolsonaro.
Sure.
But the thing is, Lula is not a communist. Lula is a left, a center left. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to make banks lose money. He's not going to make nothing. Right. But he is going to help a little bit poor people. That's all.
He's been in power before and he wasn't.
Yeah.
Brazil actually was doing pretty well then. I think it was during like an oil boom and everything. But yeah.
Everybody was making a lot of money.
I think when I might have missed it, but you were talking about stock markets and it looks like the economy might be going down if Bolsonaro loses. I think any time there's a change in government, that happens automatically for like a couple months until they figure out what the new government's going to be, and then it stabilizes. And especially if this is a centrist, I mean, that's being more predictable is usually good.
Yeah. And what is he's actually proposing, like just giving, what does he actually propose? It's so outlandish, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like he's just
Bolsonaro or Lula?
No, Lula, that people are would find outlandish. I mean, is there anything specific?
What's his platform?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's very reasonable. It's just like, it's very reasonable, guys. There's nothing like really, it's just like, he want to come back with like a emergency relief, that a relief fund that he used to give people that helped people. He wanted to come back with some infrastructure that he has built and is gone now to help the poorest regions of the country. And I mean, there's nothing.
Must keep the Amazon rainforest, I guess.
Yes. Protect the Amazon.
What a commie. But it's loves his trees.
Yeah. But it's nothing radical at all. Like at all, guys, like at all.
You're not becoming, he's not Chavez.
He's not Fidel Castro.
Yeah. I mean, people were calling Biden a communist and Biden's like the most milquetoast middle of the road guy there is. I was reading an interview with Lula this morning and they were asking what's the difference between his 2002 campaign and this campaign 20 years later. And he was saying it sounded a lot like Biden in the sense that he was saying, well, this time democracy is what's at stake. So it's not the issues, it's democracy. And that's kind of what Biden did. He didn't have many issues at all.
The crazy
he brought
person,
up. Basically. He just kind of said, if you vote for this guy, we won't have a democracy. If you vote for me, we will. And that was kind of, he kind of kept it simple. Is Lula doing a similar thing?
I think it depends on where Lula is speaking. Because Lula is a guy who he was a poor worker. Lula is a guy from the favelas. Like Lula was a poor man. Lula, his mom is illiterate. You know what I mean? Like Lula is a guy from the people, right? So I think it depends on where he's talking. When he is making a speech at favela, I don't think he's going to talk about democracy. I think he's going to talk about you guys cannot eat. There's 33 million people experiencing hunger in Brazil right now, you know? Right. So maybe that's what I've been noticing, because it is true. I think that is true. If Bolsonaro wins again, I think our democracy is over. I think that's true. But I don't think every single voter is worrying about this or has this, you know, because people work too much. Like people don't follow the news like we do. You know what I mean? Like people who have kids, have work, they don't care, you know?
Mm. They should be listening to this podcast.
Yeah. So I think that it depends on where he's speaking. I think he says maybe he talks, you know.
How many times can Lula run again? Because he's already been president for two terms, correct?
Oh, right. Yeah. Can you do it two more? Is that how it works? Or
is it unlimited? As long as they're not consecutive.
I'm not sure, because I think this is the first time it's happening in Brazil. I think he can run for re-election again. I don't think he will. Okay. I think that Lula is running for office now for one reason only. It's because he is the only politician is strong enough to beat Bolsonaro.
Right. He's the Biden. Okay. He's the guy. He's like, I'm coming back, coming back off the bench to
we have this crazy person. Yeah, we have other like good and viable candidates, but no one has the strength that he has. Like, but he's very popular.
Right.
Okay. And Bolsonaro is a populist too.
So it's sort of like he's popular. There's like a left wing. I saw someone frame it as like left wing populism versus right wing populism. But it sounds like he's more, he's not really a populist though, right? He's more running to the
Lula
sanity. Yeah, Lula is more like the left wing sanity candidate.
I think I would say that Lula is a populist in a good way because he is very popular and he talks to people. I would say he's a populist.
And what about comedy wise? Are you going back to Brazil much to perform?
I am. I went to Brazil twice this year already. Okay. And I probably go there next year again. I mean, if Bolsonaro wins, I don't know what's going to happen, honestly.
Really?
Because I'm very vocal against him.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit afraid, to be honest, because those people are crazy.
Do you talk about it in your stand-up when you were there?
Politics, my stand-up online. I do, like, because I got, guys, I'm crazy, because I'm obsessed about, of course, the elections. And the way I think we release our angst is comedy. So I'm like, you know, I'm making videos about Bolsonaro and Satanist and being Satanist. And being, you know, of course, and there was like a video that I posted today that was like, this is Brazil. So much Brazil. So there's a guy who's a Bolsonaro supporter, and then he says he's a Orthodox priest, but he's not. But he wears like everything. Went to a poor neighborhood to, you know, give support to Bolsonaro and talk to people, and the children in the neighborhood make him back away. Get out of here, Lula! And this is the sign, the Lula sign, and people are like, Lula, the children. You can go to my Instagram later and take a look. It's the funniest shit ever. The children doing it.
So do you feel it, like, are you scared at all? You feel you're in danger when you're performing in Brazil?
I mean, the same, I'm going to throw a beer at you and any of these Bolsonaro supporters like they do here in America.
I think before was already like dangerous to perform in Brazil, to be honest with you. But now I think it is. But I also, to honestly, I'm in my mind, I'm like, when I'm on stage, I have no fear. And if someone comes to me, I'm going to come for them. Like, fuck it. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
I see. That's how Turner is.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. I'm just trying to tell jokes. So I mean, I guess that's all we're all trying to do. Right.
But you know what? Like, when I started doing comedy in Brazil, I was one of the first women doing comedy, and people didn't actually have the experience of seeing women doing, walking up on stage with a microphone. Right.
Yeah.
So I actually had to have a thick skin since the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is not new for me.
So you're used to it. Who cares? Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
It's crazy. I mean, I think it's like globally now, like I'm not a political comedian. I'm not an American political comedian at all. I'm interested in global politics, but, I don't talk about American politics on stage. Still, I've had people yell like, let's go Brandon at me and stuff like that. And a bunch of other stuff, which is just so puzzling because I don't even bring it up.
Right.
So
they just look at you and they assume you're.
Yeah. So I'm just like, well, no, I don't know what they assume. I would assume they would think I was, I don't know. I guess it's hard to say. I think it's in certain parts of the country, just by the introduction that you live in New York or saying that you live in New York, people think they assume they know where you are. And then people start yelling at me. And so I would imagine if you do talk politics on stage, it must be like bonkers right now.
Yeah.
Why do you think that, and this is for everybody, why do you think that this is all happening at the same time? Meaning the United States, I guess France, Italy, Brazil. Yeah. Why is it so heated? Yeah, I mean, read that 70% of Brazilians polled recently said they don't feel comfortable saying their political stance in public right now because of violence and just like harassment.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember that being the case. And I would, I don't remember that being the case like 10, 15 years ago anywhere, or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. So why, what's going on now that this is all happening, you think?
Well, I think that we are at a breaking point. I think we are changing. I think we're changing. I think the entire world, I think it's changing. Like the power dynamics are changing. I think everything is changing. And I think we are at a breaking point and everything is like crazy. Everything's like this, you know, like crazy. Yeah.
It feels like social media must have something to do with this.
Oh, I know, too much time in front of screens is hurting, killing 100%. Everyone. Yeah,
from all sides.
Right? I mean, I read Bolsonaro is like great with social media, right? Isn't he a really
his big tweeter
skilled at, or his team is skilled at controlling narratives through
they have a lot
media?
Of money. They have a lot of money. So what happens with those? Because I think that this extreme right wing movement is international.
Mm-hmm.
They have, of course, they're independent, but they have some, like, they have some, you know, nook, like a center or something, like ideological kind of, you know?
Yeah.
I do think that social media has everything to do. And I think that they just have a lot of money because Bolsonaro has this huge WhatsApp and Telegram net.
Okay.
He has people working for him. He has money to push for, you know, to boost his things, his pull, you know? So I think this is all, it's less about intelligence and more about money.
Sure.
And the message, I mean, you say they're independent, but I was watching a clip, I was interviewing Bolsonaro supporters and they were talking about how he's going to save the family. Mm-hmm. And it sounded so similar to what we heard in Italy.
Yeah.
As if like the family is under attack, this idea from the left. So
I find it interesting that, around the world, Trump would say America first to make America great again. In Italy, they would say make Italy first. Brazil, you say Brazil first. But then how are these people all allies with each other if their inherent point of view is that my country is better than every other country?
It's a great,
Do you know what I mean? I don't understand.
That's just nationalism and
you have the opposite point of view of anyone.
No,
from
because
any
there's
other
a respect
country.
For that's why they that's why the right will like they'll have a respect for like even Russia. They go in, well, I respect that Putin cares about his country kind of thing. It's like,
well,
it's
Putin's like a weird cancel culture. I've heard people in America saying
that. Tip of the cap. Obviously, my country's better, but I respect you for liking your country.
I think that is a method. I think that comes from a Spanish guy. I forgot his name now. This guy, I forgot his name, but it's very important. Like this guy was the beginning of everything. I think he started with a campaign to help, you know, the poor and stuff.
Franco? Or is it?
Not Franco. He's an obscure guy. No one actually knows about this guy very much, but he created, he was the one who invented like the way you scare people with abortion.
Okay.
You know, so he was the one. So they have like pretty much a script that they've been following for, you know, scare people with pedophilia and scare people with abortion. They have some talking points.
I think the pedophilia is newer. I feel like that just came out of nowhere the last few years. Everybody's a pedophile. Is that
Then Epstein didn't help.
Epstein didn't help. But you know, the Q movement said everyone, Nancy Pelosi.
QAnon. Yeah.
The QAnon movie. Yeah. Everyone's a pedophile. Apparently I didn't realize that. Tom Hanks.
Satanist pedophile. But you're right though. They do follow the same script. It's almost like they get the greatest hits and then they just play it for their country.
It works. They play what
and they
works.
They have money. They have money. Honestly, it's money.
Yeah.
Though, like there's a lot of rich people that support those people. Sometimes we don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes openly, sometimes not.
Yeah. And it's almost like when it works in one country, everybody else just uses the same playbook. They go, well, if that worked for them, I'll just use the same system and get it to work here. It seems to be working, although not totally. I mean, Bolsonaro got elected once. He's not going to get reelected, most likely. Got elected once. He didn't get reelected. So who knows what happens in the
future. That's why we're worried that you're going to copy the January 6th playbook, but hopefully not. So
I think he will. No, I think he will. Yeah. He will, but I don't know how it's going to go, but I don't think I don't think he can actually, promote a coup.
He can't take over the country.
No, but he will like, a mess is going to be for sure. They're going to make a mess.
And what's Lula's foreign policy? Has he said much about how he'll deal with other countries?
So Lula is a very good diplomatic person. And Lula has one thing that I love about him is that he is very much a supporter of the other South American countries. So he's always been advocating to have more dialogue with the South American countries and maybe even like be stronger together. And this is something that the right wing and the extreme right wing thinks is the worst, blah, blah, blah. You know, And I think this is very good.
It's like the European Union argument all over again, or with Brexit and everything. It's like, we want to be independent, right? That's what the right's saying.
My opinion is that that's silly. I think the world is so connected that we should actually think about like a more centralized kind of, you know.
Sure. Great. All right. Well, I think that's it. So October 30th is the date.
Oh,
we
my
will
God.
Find out when would Lula come into Pat? When would he take office?
January 1st.
Oh boy.
Oh, can
so
I ask?
We might have
question?
A Christmas coup.
A Halloween. Yeah. One question, actually, when the election was happening, the first round, I was in the elevator in my building here in New York, and I was with this two Brazilians and their dog, and they were going to the consulate. You could vote, I guess, by going to the consulate, and they were all wearing all red, and their dog was wearing all red. Is that we're supporting our candidate in red. Is that Lula or is that?
It's Lula. It's the opposite because in America,
red is Republican, but it's also communist. So it makes no sense.
Yeah. So Lula is red. Yeah.
Okay. So I will promote that when I see them in the elevator next time, I will tell them to listen to this episode.
Yes, please. They are nice people.
They're good people. Yeah. Their dog was all, it was so cute. Their dog was wearing a whole red outfit they put together for,
yeah.
It was like two brother and a sister. So
how did you vote? Did you go to a consulate or can you vote by mail?
I vote in Toronto. I don't vote in New York.
Oh, you went to Toronto to vote?
I have to go. No, I didn't go. I couldn't.
Oh, you didn't vote. You're part of the problem. That's why you didn't get to 50%.
You got to change your district.
I couldn't, unfortunately.
Let's get you to Toronto before October 30th.
Get you to Toronto.
We'll drive you up there. So.
I gotta go to Toronto. Let's do like a Patreon for me to go to Toronto.
If you get booked to Congress,
that is it. Thank you so much, Carol. Carol, how can our audience follow you?
Thank you. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram at Carol Comedy. And that's it.
Carol Comedy. That's pretty good. Good,
yeah.
Good handle.
You must have got that early.
Carol Comedy in Instagram. But on TikTok, I'm Comedy Carol, which Comedy I love Carol. It more. Comedy
Carol. First Carol comedian on Instagram.
Comedy Carol.
Carol
that
Burnett
is it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Carol Zoakley, thanks for being on the show. Best of luck. On the October 30th election, and more importantly, the January 1st transition of power.
Kaplan, January 1st coup.
That's it. What should we do?
I just got a lot smarter, so it's time now. We go get lost.
Get lost, everybody.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.